Richard Redgrave's painting, The Sempstress, shows a poor young woman sitting in a garret stitching men's shirts. It's miserably low-paid work, and to make ends meet, she has to work into the early hours of the morning. So as you can tell by the clock, the time is now 2:30 a.m. Through the window, the sky is streaked with moonlight, and the lighted window of a neighbouring house suggests that the same scene is repeated on the other side of the street. The sempstress's eyes are swollen and inflamed with all that close work she's having to do by the inadequate light of a candle. On the table, you can find the instruments of her trade, her work basket, her needle case, her ball of thread. On the plate in front is what seems to be a knife with a morsel of food, which, with a cup or a soup bowl behind the basket, suggests that she's been taking her meal while on the job. On the mantelpiece to the right, you can see medicine bottles. One of these contains a potion called simply the mixture, supplied, as the label tells us, by Middlesex Hospital. The life of a sempstress is not a healthy one. The room is not that of a destitute person, but its furnishings are minimal. A small, hard bed, a table and chair, and a trunk on which stand a pitcher and a broken basin. A few pots and pans ranged on the shelf above, and on the windowsill, the sad relic of a once cheerful plant. This is a highly important painting because it's one of the very first works in which art is used as a medium of campaigning social commentary on behalf of the poor. The Industrial Revolution in Britain brought with it a goodly share of social problems, and as the century progressed, these would frequently furnish painters with subject matter. But in the 1840s, when Redgrave painted this picture, the idea of an artist addressing himself to social questions was something completely new. And it seems there was a personal dimension for the artist, because Richard Redgrave didn't come from a rich family, and his sister had been forced to leave home and find employment as a governess. And she became ill while she was in service, probably with typhoid, and so when she was finally reunited with her family, it was only to be nursed to her death. The very first of Redgrave's social realist works was, in fact, a picture titled The Poor Teacher, and it showed a lonely teacher musing sadly over a letter presumably received from her distant family. That picture was painted in 1843, and later in the same year, there appeared in a relatively new journal called Punch, in the Christmas issue, a poem which suddenly struck a nerve in the social conscience of the age. It was by an author called Thomas Hood, and it was called The Song of the Shirt. There are 11 stanzas in the poem, and it starts like this: "With fingers weary and worn, with eyelids heavy and red, a woman sat in unwomanly rags, plying her needle and thread. Stitch, 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 in poverty, hunger, and dirt, and still with a voice of dolorous pitch, she sang the song of the shirt." And this is the text which inspired Redgrave's painting, and when he exhibited his first version of The Sempstress at the Royal Academy in 1844, just a few months after the poem appeared, he included in the catalogue a quotation which comes from the fourth stanza. "O men with sisters dear, O men with mothers and wives, it's not linen you're wearing out, but human creatures' lives." And then the refrain, "Stitch, stitch, stitch, in poverty, hunger and dirt, sewing at once with a double thread, a shroud as well as a shirt." The sempstress is sewing both a shirt and her own shroud, meaning, of course, that she's working herself into an early grave. It's almost impossible nowadays to understand the impact which this poem had. Thackeray, the novelist and critic, described it as the most startling lyric in our language. It was set to music, it was dramatised on stage, it was the subject of sermons, it was even printed, enterprisingly, on handkerchiefs. The reader would thus automatically be prepared for the inevitable fit of sobbing. But the issue was far from being a frivolous one. Hood was inspired to write The Song of the Shirt by a recent court case in which a sempstress, similar to the one in Redgrave's painting, had been accused of theft. It emerged from the hearing that she was working a 14-hour day for a maximum wage of 7 shillings a week, on which she had to support herself and 2 children. You should remember that many sempstresses went blind, and many, if not most, were therefore on their way to becoming blind, and the maximum wage was offered for faultless work. But employers almost invariably found a stitch or two out of place, and the wages were docked accordingly. A parliamentary commission reported in 1843 on this horrifying situation, and at the same time, hard-hitting articles started appearing in the press. In particular, a series of articles appeared in a journal called The Pictorial World in 1843 with the title Slaves of the Needle. It was particularly stinging to suggest that British citizens were being subjected to a form of slavery, as this was a period when feelings still ran high over the iniquities of the slave trade and its recent abolition. It was at just this time also that a German intellectual living in England by the name of Friedrich Engels showed a study he'd written on the English working classes to a friend of his then living in Paris, a man called Karl Marx. Now, though Redgrave did not advocate revolution, he was nevertheless doing something quite revolutionary, and that was to send to the hallowed halls of the Royal Academy a painting about human misery, a painting with a trenchant humanitarian message. So how to embark on this entirely new category of subject matter? Redgrave did not do what to us might seem the obvious thing. There is no evidence that he actually went out into the London slums to search out the real sweatshops in which the real slaves of the needle actually worked in horribly cramped conditions. Redgrave, in fact, created an image which is not at all realistic. His picture is based not on real life, but on artistic traditions already in place. The interior scene of the solitary female worker is borrowed from 17th century Dutch art, and the moist-eyed heavenward gaze was a motif familiar from any number of Baroque images of swooning saints. The woman conjured by Redgrave from Hood's poem was a combination of these. Originality is all very well, but Redgrave was wise enough to realise that his daring new subject matter would not be acceptable unless it appeared in a format which was in some way comfortingly familiar, and which suggested respectability. He succeeded brilliantly. The image was taken up widely and became something of an emblem, not just of the unhappy sempstress's lot, but in general of the brutality of capitalist exploitation. It stands at the fount head of a whole tradition of social realist painting in Victorian England.